Hey friends, welcome to the True Holiness vlog, vlog number 3. I hope I don't get too much ambient fan noise. I have an overhead fan. We are in the middle of quite a heat wave here in Southern California, so trying to stay a little bit cool as much as possible. I've subtitled today's vlog, Holiness to the Lord, and that's because we're going to advance into the Old Testament priesthood today in our attempt to define holiness. If you'll remember from last week time we were together in blog 2, we talked about the Hebrew word kodesh, which means apartness, sacredness, separateness. That's how it appears for the first time in the Old Testament, Exodus 3 and 5. So now we advance 25 chapters later to Exodus 28. Actually, we walked last week from Exodus 3 to Exodus 12, to Exodus 15, to Exodus 16, to Exodus 22, and we ended up in the New Testament after stopping off in Leviticus. But I want to take you now into the setting up of the tabernacle and the clothing of the priests. And we're not going to go through all of the different things that are in the tabernacle and what makes them holy. We're just going to start to show you how God begins to deal with the problem of iniquity among the people of God. And let's be honest, if we didn't have a quote-unquote problem with iniquity, a lot of ministries wouldn't know what to do with themselves, you know, if we didn't know how to deal with the problem of iniquity. But I want to show you how God dealt with it in the Old Testament and then how that relates to us in the New. Exodus chapter 28, and we're going to get our Kodesh word here in just a moment, which is our Hebrew for holy. Exodus chapter 28 and verse 36, and I want to read just 3 verses. This is where God is telling the priests how to clothe themselves. You shall also make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it, like the engraving of a signet, Holiness to the Lord. There's our subtitle today. These are the words that go on a golden plate. Let's see where we put this plate. You shall put it on a blue cord that may be on the turban. It shall be on the front of the turban. So it shall be on Aaron's forehead, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel hallow in all their holy gifts. And it shall always be on his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. So they took a gold plate and they beat into it the words holiness to the Lord. They wrapped that golden plate with a blue cord and they put it on the forehead of the high priest's turban. So he's wearing a turban. Then they wrapped that holiness unto the Lord around his forehead. And yes, the word holiness here is the Hebrew word kodesh. So we're dealing with the same thing. And so whenever the priest looked at God, and remember, I like to say it this way. The prophet was the voice of God to the people. The priest was the voice of the people to God. So God is having the priest face him. Whatever God sees on the priest is a reminder to God. It's why the high priest on his ephod wears the 12 stones, which represent the 12 tribes of Israel. Why would the people need reminded of the 12 tribes of Israel? They are the 12 tribes of Israel. So when the priest faces God, he sees those stones near the heart of the priest, and it represents each one of God's people. And God looks upon his people and sees them as precious stones, precious jewels. The New Testament would call us precious stones, lively stones. So the same thing with the plate. There's the golden plate that is on the blue cord that goes around the priest's turban. This golden plate says holiness to the Lord, so that when the priest looks to the Lord sees holiness. Now, why must the Lord see holiness? Let's go back to the scripture. Verse 38 will tell us. It shall be on Aaron's forehead that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel hallow in all their holy gifts, and it shall always be on his forehead that they may be accepted before the Lord. So two basic things happen when Aaron looks at God while wearing this golden engraving, holiness to the Lord. Number one, he bears the iniquity of the people. And number two, that causes the people to be accepted in the eyes of God. Now, you don't have to know much about the finished work of Christ to know that the New Testament connection is not a hard one to make from Exodus 28. But I want to do it step by step. That's what these vlogs are all about. So I apologize for those who immediately make the connection that we got to go through the scriptures, but I don't apologize as well because I think it's important for you to know where they are and important for you to see them for yourself. So let's remember this. The high priest puts a golden plate on his forehead. He wears it all the time so that when he looks at God, God reads the words, holiness unto the Lord. Not so that the people see a holy God, but so that God sees a holy priest, a holy people. And why? Because that priest is bearing the iniquity of the people and causing the people then to be accepted before God. Let's make New Testament connections. We'll start in Hebrews chapter 7, one of my favorite books of the New Testament, the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7, I want to start in verse 20 and we'll read a few verses. Inasmuch as he was not made priest without an oath, for they have become priests without an oath, but he with an oath, by him who said to him, the Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. By so much more, Jesus has become a surety of a better covenant. So we've identified that according to the writer of Hebrews, we have a priest who is delivering a better covenant, and his name is Jesus. Also, there were many priests because they were prevented by death from continuing, but he, because he continues forever, has an unchangeable priesthood. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For such a high priest was fitting for us. We'll come back to 25, by the way. For such a high priest was fitting for us, who is holy, harmless. The word harmless there is innocent, undefiled, separate from sinners, and has become higher than the heavens, who does not need daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once for all, when he offered up himself. For the law appoints as high priests men who have weakness, but the word of the oath which came after the law appoints the Son, this is Jesus, who has been appointed, who has been perfected forever. Now this is the main point of the things we are saying. Here comes the main point. We have such a high priest who is seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens. So connection number one between Exodus 28 and the New Testament, Aaron is a priest, Jesus is a priest. Aaron is a high priest, Jesus is a high priest. Aaron was the high priest for the land of Israel under the rule of Moses. Jesus is the high priest for the believer. Okay, there's our first connection. Now let's go to their equipment and what that means. Aaron is wearing a golden plate that says holiness unto the Lord. It is tied to a turban. It is on his head. Thus he is bearing the iniquity of the people, so that when he looks at God, God sees holiness unto the Lord, even though the stench of sin is great, no doubt, in the nostrils of God. God chooses not to look at the sin of Israel. He chooses to look at the high priest. And so he determines the holiness of the people by the priesthood bearing those iniquities of those same people. So Aaron is bearing the iniquity of the children of Israel. Isaiah chapter 53, let's read a couple of verses. I know I said we'll be in verse 25 of Hebrews 7. We will. We'll get back there. Isaiah 53 verse 5, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And here's our verse. Here's our statement. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I like the Hebrew there. And the Lord has caused to land on him the iniquity of us all. So Jesus is bruised for our iniquities, and all of our iniquities land on him. So as high priest, he is fulfilling the Aaronic role of taking the sin of the people and standing in front of God on their behalf. Now, we have Aaron, we have Jesus. We have Aaron bearing iniquity, we have Jesus bearing iniquity. But in Exodus 28 and 38, we have, the Bible tells us, and the people will be accepted. So when Aaron looks at God with the words, holiness to the Lord across his forehead, the people are accepted. So let's make that connection to the New Testament. It's easy to do. We go to the Pauline letter to the Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Listen to verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. So the grace of God through Christ has made us acceptable in Jesus to God. Let's make our connections again. Aaron is a high priest. Jesus is a high priest. Aaron bears the iniquity of Israel. Jesus had laid upon him the iniquity of us all. When Aaron looks at God with a golden plate across his head that says, holiness unto the Lord, God accepts the people on Aaron's behalf. Jesus stands in front of the Father and makes us accepted in the beloved. This is a freebie. The word accepted. Charitu. There's only two times it's used in the New Testament in the Greek. Charitu, its root word is charis, grace. Charitu is used first when Mary is confronted by the angel. She finds out she's going to bear a son, call his name Jesus. The angel greets her as, you are charitu among women. The English says, you are highly favored among women. The only time the word shows up again is right here in Ephesians 1:6, where Paul says, he hath made us charitu in the beloved. He hath made us, they translated accepted, it could be, he hath made us highly favored in the beloved. So whenever Aaron looks at God and God reads holiness to the Lord across his forehead, God doesn't see the people at fault, even though the people are full of sin. He sees the sin on Aaron and then accepts the people. So we need, so let's slow down for a second. Israel's acceptance was built in Aaron's holiness. The problem is Aaron's not holy either. But Aaron is wearing a golden headplate that always faces heaven, that says, holiness unto the Lord. So that when God looks, he never takes it off, because when God looks at Aaron, he's determining how he treats his people based upon Aaron, and Aaron is not, he's no better than the people. So God sees holiness unto the Lord and is reminded of a holy people. So the holiness faces God, and God counts the people as holy. What we need then is to make a fourth connection. We have Aaron, we have Jesus. We have Aaron having sin on him, we have Jesus having sin on him. We have the people accepted because of Aaron, we have us accepted because of Jesus. We need a fourth connection. We need, just as Aaron faces God and God sees holiness unto the Lord, we need Jesus facing God. And we've already read it. And I told you we would come back to it. Let's do that. Hebrews 7, 25. Therefore, he is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. He always lives to make intercession. Now, what we have done with this passage, unfortunately, is we have made a connection that is not biblical. You see, whatever Jesus is doing has its precedent in the Old Testament. Jesus is the substance, the Old Testament is the shadow. What we have done is we have said Jesus is in some cosmic courtroom ever battling on behalf of the believer against the enemy. But if you look at the Old Testament, the high priest didn't go to God and carry out a legal case in front of God for the people. Rather, the high priest was the representative of the people. And when God saw holiness to the Lord, God deemed the people holy. So when Hebrews 7:25 says Jesus ever lives to make intercession for us, what that means, using the Old Testament as a precedent, is that Jesus is always facing the Father. And what the Father sees is Jesus. And so Jesus is holiness unto the Lord. He's not wearing holiness unto the Lord. He is holiness unto the Lord. And since he is our high priest, our iniquities are in him, and our holiness is wrapped up in him. So for people that are going, well, what we need in the church is people to be more holy. God bless them, but they don't realize how much they're insulting Jesus. Jesus can't be more holy. He is holy. And when he stands facing the Father, ever living to make intercession for us, he is declaring us to be the holiness unto the Lord. We are the holiness unto the Lord. It means Jesus faces the Father as your holiness. So I will grant you this. If Jesus can be more holy, then by God we need more holiness in the church. And if Jesus can be less sinful, then we need less sin. And I know I'm dancing on, that's sacrilegious. I hope you see the importance of what we're saying. Holiness is not an action, it's a state of being. Jesus is not acting holy in front of the Father. Jesus is holy in front of the Father. And because he's facing the Father as the holiness unto the Lord, you and I have our iniquities borne, we have our holiness secured. I want to comment real quick on something from that 25th verse of Hebrews 7. Therefore, he's also able to save to the uttermost. The Greek there is closer to completely and forever. He is able to save completely and forever those who come to God through him. So don't doubt the security of your salvation in Christ. Also, verse 27, which we read a few minutes ago, this is incredible. Hebrews 7:27. He does not need daily, as other high priests, to offer up sacrifices, first for his own sin and then for the people's. Do you realize that Aaron had to offer up a sacrifice for his sin and then for the people's sin? Jesus didn't sin, but he offered up himself once as if he had sinned, because he was offering up himself once for all of us. This he did once for all when he offered up himself. So Christ has once and for all offered up himself. Wow. I've enjoyed all three vlogs so far. I think this has been my most enjoyable, because if anything, this shines the light directly on the man Christ Jesus. My holiness and my righteousness are wrapped up in how holy and how righteous that he is, and I refuse to insult his holiness and his righteousness by declaring that Paul White can and should be more holy. That somehow I have snuck outside of my high priest, and God is determining my holiness based upon my actions. There are many who are screaming for more holiness, and what they really are in are the throes of an emotional revival. And their response to that emotional revival is to go change their morality. And they may very well change their morality, but they will not in any way endear themselves as the righteousness of God by changing their morality. This is always incredible to me. People have a great revival, and then they declare that they need to go change if they want revival. How did you get revival in the first place if all that you were doing was so wrong, and then you needed to go change all that you were doing? Listen, you're not in the old covenant. You're in the new covenant. Enjoy the presence of the Father. Listen to the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying he won't tell us to stop doing some things or remove things from our life. He certainly will. Certainly if there's harm to come, he knows how to tell us to stop. And I believe you know how to listen. But don't declare it to be what makes you holy. Only Jesus makes you holy. We'll see you next time.